When I think about submitting to God, I think of James chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Submit, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. He says these words just on the heels of quoting from Proverbs chapter 3. God is opposed to the proud, but gives grace to the humble. And the need of the hour for those to whom James was writing is to repent, ultimately. And you see that through this paragraph in verses 7 through 10, because it's structured in a way that draws attention to the central item. You'll notice the first and last item, submit therefore to God, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord. Those complement one another and tell us that the need is to humble ourselves. But you might say, well, what does it mean to humble oneself? Well, specifically, we humble ourselves when we repent of our sin. And there's a lot of evidence throughout the book that they had various difficulties. I mean, they were church-going people, because back in chapter 2, we find out how in the very assembly, where they might even be talking about loving their neighbor as themselves, they violate that very principle in how they treat the poor man who comes into their assembly. Or they feel bad enough when they see someone who is starving or doesn't have enough clothes to wear, and they say, oh, be warmed and filled. You know, it bothers them enough to feel like they ought to say something, but they don't do anything to help. And they are those that have to be warned that their exercise of religion, they think themselves to be religious, it's all for nothing if they can't do all the other things like bridling their tongue. And so when you get to the fourth chapter, James just flat out calls them adulterers. They are unfaithful to the Lord. They are guilty of sin. They are pursuing a wisdom that is from below rather than the true wisdom that is from above. But is James talking about me? Surely not. I don't need to humble myself that way. I don't need to think of myself as God. That maybe that'll count as humility. But do I really need to repent of that kind of sin? I mean, I think our tendency is not to feel that way. When Charlie announced that song, My Stubborn Will at Last Has Yielded, I told you, I said, well, it's about time. Well, that's how we are. It's other people that need to repent. You know, their stubborn will needs to, you know, be taken down a notch. But no, it is our sin. I thought of this when Dan was leading us in the prayer, and he mentioned how words are completely inadequate to describe the greatness of God, and that's so true. Words are equally inadequate to describe our own sin and the depth of our abomination, our depravity. And growing in Christ doesn't mean seeing ourselves as better people. It means coming to see our sin for what it really is, just how deep that it cuts, how broadly it impacts people. And we see even more the need to repent the more we grow in Christ, the more dirty our hands are and how our minds are unfit for the Lord. And so this central exhortation, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. If there is anything in our life that is not as God would have it to be, that needs to be washed away. It needs to be purified. And that's the center element. The outer elements is to humble ourselves. The center is to repent. But then you'll notice there's two elements that complement one another that are kind of in between. The latter one is be miserable and mourn and weep. Your laughter must be turned into mourning and your joy to gloom. Well, this statement doesn't make any sense out of context. It's a passage that commands us to cry, which doesn't really mean a lot, but in context, it obviously means to mourn over our sin. That's the same idea in the Beatitudes in Matthew chapter 5, that those who mourn will be happy. Those who are sorry over their sin will find the forgiveness that will bring rejoicing to them. But one final element to this is that pair of statements found toward the beginning, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And I think that appeals to us, the idea that we can draw near to God and he will draw near to us. Well, in the context, it becomes obvious the way that happens is we must humble ourselves before such a God, and we must repent of our sin as we draw near to him. But the flip side of that is true also. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Again, how do we resist Satan? Well, there are a lot of ways we could describe resisting Satan, just having the spiritual willpower to say, no, I'm not going to do that. But in the context, I think one of the most important ways we resist Satan is by repenting of our sin. And you say, well, wait a minute. That means you've already given in to Satan. You didn't resist him and you sinned. Well, and that's true, and we all have done that. But it's interesting, you remember the name of Satan. It means the accuser. And the power he has all over us is that we have sinned. We violated God's law. And he can go before God's throne and say, Tom here, he has broken your law and he is a sinner. And there's not one thing I can say, not a word of defense. But in Christ, I can say, I have been forgiven by the blood of Jesus. And the power of Satan's accusations are broken in Christ. And one of the most powerful ways I can resist Satan is to say, you don't have anything over me anymore. I can repent of this. I can pick up and start over, and God will forgive me and wash our slate clean. And so we need to realize Satan has no power over us any longer. The power of the law is broken. The power of our guilt is broken. That Christ has washed all of that away. And so not only are we called to submit to God in humility because he is a great and powerful spiritual being, you know, that's pretty much how the Muslims view their God. He is a great and powerful God, and you as a puny human being need to honor him for his greatness. And that is a kind of humility, but there is a greater humility to repent of sin and to recognize that God is great, not simply because he's powerful, but because he's a loving God, and he came to this earth and he died for us and redeemed us as his people. And as always, we want to take this occasion to think about our own relationship with the Lord, and is it truly well with our soul? It should be, and it can be in Christ. There's no reason any one of us need to leave troubled or distraught, because God is in control and God has provided for us all that we need. If we would just humble ourselves, and he will exalt us and he will glorify us ultimately in the end and for eternity. And so if we can help you tonight, let us know while we stand and sing the song of encouragement.